Last we left the story, if you remember, it's still a pretty barren house. Table is empty and there's only two chairs at it. Things are getting really desperate and the situation does not look good. We have Naomi, and if you remember, she has had such hard things happen in her life. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. And in all of this situation, it has affected her so greatly that she identifies with her own bitterness and she says, "Please call me bitter old hag." And so she's suffering and hurting, and she's still in that funk. She's still feeling that way. And then you've also got Ruth, also in the house, also suffering. She lost her husband. And she's also left behind her homeland. She's traveled to hang out with bitter old hag and connect her life with her. And they also say, "I'm going to follow you. Your people are going to be my people, your God, my God." But it's still hard because they're in this land, two women alone. They've got nothing. What are they going to do? That's where we find the story as it picks up in chapter 2. I'm a little disappointed with the first verse. If I were writing the story, I would have put verse 1 as the last verse, but that's just the way I would have done it. Here what the writer is doing is the writer is letting you in on a little secret. He's going to give you inside information that the other players don't know. So it's kind of like that when we see that in TVs or movies when the audience is clued in on something, but the people in the script don't know what's happening. That's what's happening here with this first verse. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. Oh, you are gonna like Boaz. Boaz, the way it's translated, a man of standing, that's a little weak for me. I like the way one commentator put it. I wrote it down. He is a real, substantial man of character. Yes, there's a bunch of stuff going on in the original Hebrew. First of all, it actually denotes that there's strength in this. He's like almost like a mighty warrior. That's kind of what it starts off with. He might have served in the defense of Israel, might have been serving in their standing army, and he's known. He's this mighty, strong man. In fact, his name, Boaz, actually means strength. And in fact, his great-great-great-grandson, Solomon, after he built this temple, he named one of the pillars Boaz. There it is. He erected the pillars at the portico of the temple. The pillar, the south, he named Jachin, and the one to the north, he named Boaz. He is a man. So not only is he strong, but there's also this connotation of wealth. He has a job. Women, isn't this good? He's got a job. Young ladies, if you're looking to date somebody, he should have a job. This is important material. Yeah, I almost entitled this Dating Techniques from the Book of Ruth, but I thought that'd be a little crass. We're going to learn a little bit about that. He's strong. He's got character. He is a man of standing. And he's single. Yes, he is a man. You're going to find out through this. He's a man's man. He does not own a man purse. He does not have an Argyle sweater. He has never ridden in a cabriolet. He does not have an account on Pinterest. He has never watched a soap opera. Oh, let me tell you, he doesn't know who the Spice Girls are. He is the reason the nine ladies are dancing. This is a man's man. And I'm going to tell you, all through this, you're going to learn a lot. It's not about being a chauvinist, right, ladies? Being a chauvinist is not being a man. Being chivalrous, that's another story, right? Because deep down, that's a great thing, right? Women, I know you always say, "I just want my man to treat me, you know, like another man." No, you don't. That's disgusting. Men get around other men. We pull fingers. It's gross. You don't want any part of that. You want him to be chivalrous. You want him to be kindly. You want him to be a man. Boaz is a man's man. And already from the get-go, we like this guy. Also, we like Ruth. Do you like Ruth? Ruth is a good lady so far. In fact, later on, she's going to be talked about, by Boaz's own words, she's going to be talked about as a woman of noble character. Are you thinking it already? Let's see. Ruth is single. Did I mention that Boaz is single? Yeah, already we're starting to think this might work out nicely. It seems really good. And let me tell you, we can learn a lot, men, from Boaz. Women, we can learn a lot from Ruth. Boaz, the man's man. He does not drink wine coolers. Verse 2. I'm just saying this all. Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." This is a law. It's called the law of gleaning. Back in those days, in order to help out in the social system, when people ended up becoming destitute, the people that were the most vulnerable, widows, orphans, foreigners, God had set up these laws, the laws of gleaning, in order to make sure that people were taken care of. And you can read about them in several pages if you want to write it down. Leviticus 19, Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 24. They all essentially say the same thing. If you are a harvester, if you've got grapes, if you've got olives, you're all supposed to follow the same thing of watching out for the people that are in the most need. So Leviticus 19, this is what it says. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. The idea is then if you go over it once, not twice. Leave the edges alone. After you've harvested, then the gleaners, the people that are desperate, the people that have nothing, can come in and eke out a living and can find some sustenance. They would definitely pray that prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." A way to kind of think about it is for those people who have eked out a living, recycling. Some people, that's how they live. They go through that and they recycle. It's not a lot of money, but it's enough to get them by, because God wanted to remind them over and over again, there was a time when you were a foreigner. There was a time when you were left destitute. There was a time when you were an outsider. Don't ever forget that. Don't lose your roots. So when you get into this land, make sure you help and take care of these people. And this concept went further. It went all the way into the New Testament. That's what James talks about when he says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. That is one of our jobs. 1 Timothy 5 actually lays out a whole section all about widows. You should read it. It's very fascinating, because it talks about there's going to be some widows, and they've got family. You know what the family should do? The family needs to step up to the plate and help take care of them. Then there's going to be other widows, and those widows are going to have nothing. They have relied themselves completely. They put themselves at the grace and mercy of God. At that point, the church is then supposed to step up and help. We are to look after the most vulnerable people around. That is what we're supposed to do. So somehow, Ruth figures this out. I don't know if Naomi told her. She picked it up while they were back in Moab as they talked about Yahweh and the Torah. I don't know how she figures this out, but she knows sitting around an empty table is not going to feed the family. So Ruth says, "Fine, I'm going to go." And she doesn't do this out of spite or anger. There's even this permission she asked, "Naomi, I'm going to go and see if I can glean and find something." And what does Naomi say? You can almost hear it. She's consumed with bitterness and anger and depression, because she just simply replies, "Go ahead, my daughter." Now, to glean is a dangerous, dangerous thing, much like a lot of our homeless people as they eke out a living. It can be dangerous, especially for a female who's been widowed and is a foreigner. No protection. These people are now exposed. And so to go and glean, Naomi should have said, "Be careful. Here are some tips and tricks." But more importantly, I wrote this in my Bible because I'm actually a little perturbed. I wrote it in my Bible. Why isn't Naomi going? She is capable, yes. I mean, she's not an invalid. She took the walk from Moab all the way into Bethlehem. And in fact, if two were out there, wouldn't that provide for them a little bit better? I mean, it makes sense. But Naomi, she's paralyzed in her chair. She is so overwhelmed, she can't even get up. So you feel for her. You know the pain she's going through. Verse 3. I don't know how, so Ruth jumps up. She says, I don't know how she picked the field. She just started walking down the road. And this is what it says. She went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, what a coinkydinky, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. Is this not good? Who was from the clan of Elimelech? I love this. The way the Hebrew writes it is, by chance, she chanced upon the land. And of course, you can put that in quotation marks, right? There was no chance about this. God was directing this. It still answers the question of Elimelech's name. Is God still king? The answer is yes, he is. He is still directing and guiding the footsteps so that Ruth goes into this place and ends up in the field of Boaz. And we know that Boaz is somehow related to Elimelech. I read this and I remember wondering to myself, why didn't Naomi go to Boaz? Right? Like, hey, we got these two women. We're having some struggles. Boaz, I mean, he is a man of character. He's strong. He's wealthy. He's got a job. He loves Jesus. This is some great stuff. We love this guy. How come this hasn't happened? I went through some conjecture. I mean, I can't prove anything. I wonder if Boaz and Elimelech had a falling out. I wondered if maybe Naomi and Elimelech looked down on Boaz because of Boaz's mom. Boaz's mom was a prostitute. That's dirty stuff. And I wonder if Naomi and Elimelech, being also of high standing, if they looked down on that like, oh, wow. I mean, you can read it. It's in Matthew chapter 1. The genealogy. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Rahab the prostitute. I don't know, maybe there were some pride issues, like I'm not going to go and beg for help from them. I don't know. It also helps us understand a little bit more about Boaz, because you see how he treats people, especially how he treats women. I wonder if he watched as people mistreated his mom, if he said, you know what, when I grow up, I'm never doing that. I'm going to treat women correctly. You'll see how he does this. This is fantastic. So, Boaz, he's wealthy. He's got a job. Women, that's important, right? Okay, good, good. Just then, it just so happens, Boaz arrives from Bethlehem. He shows up. He pulls up in his Hummer, and he steps out, and he's going to take a look and see how things are going. And what does he do? He says, the Lord be with you. And you all have this desire, this innate urge to say back. It's I don't know what it is. It happens every time I go on to Star Tours, right? They walk out, they're like, and the force be with you. And I always want to say back, and also with you. And sometimes I actually do, and then all the Lutherans laugh. And it's kind of funny now. I love this guy. How many of you have a boss like this? That he walks in and he greets people, the Lord be with you. No, you're like, no, my boss is of the devil. And my coworkers are his minions. He's got a tail. He's got a pitchfork. He's red. I don't like him. Yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting? A guy walks in, the Lord be with you. And everyone pops up out of their cubicle. And also with you. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? I love this guy. He loves God. Young women who are looking to date. Now do we got the two things, right? He needs to have a job and love Jesus, right? Young women, are you listening to me? Young men, if you're looking to court said young woman, get a job and love Jesus. Get a t-shirt. I love Jesus, I have a job. This is good advice, dating advice from the book of Ruth, I'm just telling you. So the Lord be with you. He loves his people. Yeah, what's nice about this is he actually cares about the people. And do the people care about him? Yeah, I mean, this is amazing, this interplay that happens, the Lord be with you. And they're also, the Lord bless you, they called back. I mean, how many of you would say that to your boss? The Lord bless you, you might say it sarcastically. Just to let you know, the bosses around here at this church are fantastic. They're wonderful people. I actually tried this just for the fun of it. This morning I walk in, so I'm walking in the office, and I'm right next door to Celeste, the kids minister. And I go, I'm gonna try it. So I peek my head, and I'm all, Celeste, the Lord be with you. She looks at me and goes, and also with you? What are you doing? You're creeping me out. I go, I know, it sounds kind of creepy. Does it? A little weird. I just think it's all right. So the Lord bless you. Now Boaz scans the field. He knows all his people. He knows the janitor's name. He knows the secretary. He knows all his people. He doesn't treat them with disrespect. He knows them. How do I know this? Because look at verse 5. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvest, and the foreman, actually it should be translated the young man. This is the dude, he's straight out of college, he just got his business degree. I'll call him clipboard boy. He's the young kid. Hey, college kid, come over here. Whose young woman is that? Points over, who's that? See, he knows everybody, so he wants to know, who's this girl, and it says, whose girl is this? And that's not like a possessive thing. He's concerned, like, who is she connected with? Is she by herself? What's going on? What's her story? I like this. Now, of course, the debate rages. I had a little disagreement with a couple people after the 8 o'clock service. They didn't like my thoughts on this. But because everyone seems to say this, what caused Boaz to take notice of Ruth? And everyone says, well, it's because Ruth was gorgeous. That's what they all say. Ruth was gorgeous. And again, guys, you know, it's good. If you know, it's, your women like it when you say that they're beautiful, but that shouldn't be the only thing. You shouldn't look at a girl and say, oh, she's hot. Well, yeah, so is hell, but that doesn't mean you should date it. And here, by the way, that's not my joke. I ripped it off from another pastor, but it was a good joke, so I had to say it. But Ruth, I mean, is she hot? What has she been doing all day? She's hot. Yeah, she's sweaty. She's drippy. She's all pitted out. She's got her hair back in a ponytail. She's dirty and disgusting, right? I know how it is. Okay, baby, let's go out on a date. And 3 hours later, you got to paint the barn. You got to make yourself all look. Could you imagine how Ruth is feeling at this point? Like she looks over and there's this guy hopping out of the Hummer and she's like, oh, he's gorgeous. Oh, and I look terrible. Is he single? Yes, Ruth, he's single. This would be, what a disgust. She's been working all day long. I've worked all day long. I feel bad when people drive by my house. They know where I live. I live right in this area over here. And they're driving by like, oh my gosh, what is that disgusting creature? Oh, that's the pastor, never mind. Yeah, it's you're disgusted. This is terrible. There's something more about her. And again, Ruth, she's not the greatest catch in a lot of ways. She's looking really disgusting right now. She's a widow. She used to belong to a cult. Yeah, I mean, is this like high person that you would want? You know, there's something about her, though. I don't think it's that she's hot. I think she's a woman of noble character, and that shines through. Men, am I right? You can spot that. Just because someone's gorgeous doesn't mean anything. You like that, but there's something more. There's a substance going on here. Whose woman is that? Clipboard boy, foreman replied back, she is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. Oh. And she said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. And she went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. We learn a lot. She's a hard worker. She's dedicated. She loves her mother-in-law, who is a bitter old woman. And she does it with joy. She's humble because she doesn't walk up and say, I demand to glean in your field because that's what the law says. She comes out. She asks. She's humble. I like this woman. She's very respectful. And she also has this reputation that's preceding her. The fact that she's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi, it tells a lot about her. Did Ruth do what was right in order to get something out of it? I mean, the right thing to do was to stick by Naomi. But I wonder if she ever stopped and said, this is just not getting me anywhere. Do you ever do the right thing in order to get something in return? Do you ever do the right thing in hopes that maybe you'll be blessed by God? Wrong and wrong. What we should be doing is always doing the right thing because we already are blessed. because it's just the right thing. We should do what's right because it's the right thing, period. And we don't have to sit there and second guess ourselves. If we're always doing the right thing, we never have to worry. That's why Paul says in Thessalonians, never tire of doing what is right. Always do what's right. Also, Paul says it in the book of Galatians. I love Galatians 6. I quoted 6:2 last week. I'm wondering if chapter 6 has a lot to do with the book of Ruth. So here's Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Keep doing what is right. It's just simply the right thing to do. I love it. So what is Boaz going to do? How is he going to treat this widow, pitted out, foreign lady? Well, apparently Boaz treats all women with respect. Of all the people he could have stepped on, it would be Ruth. She has no protection. People would probably laugh. He could have, but he doesn't, because he is a man of substance. He's a real man. Real men treat women with respect. And right there, I should have gotten like 5 amens. Women, I'm fighting for you. You with me? Amen. There we go. There we go. Good. All right. Come on now. Help me out. Boaz says to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. At first, it's like, what, is he selfish or something? No. He's actually providing some protection. He's saying, don't go to Frank's field. Frank is creepy and so are all the people over there. Don't go over to another field. Stay here. And also, he thinks about Ruth's needs, which is huge. I don't know if I would have thought of this one. Because what do women need? They often need companionship, other people, other women to hang out with. Look at what he says, stay here with my servant girls. He provides for companionship for her. I love this. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow after the girls. And I have told the men not to touch you. Yeah, wouldn't that be a great conversation? Hey guys, come here, come here. Yeah. New girl, Ruth, don't touch her or I kill you. It's a big field. I'll bury you. They won't find you for a long time. Yeah, he's providing this protection. Why? Because she is of the most vulnerable class. He doesn't have to, but he does it because he's a man of noble character. He's a man of substance. And then even going above and beyond, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. Of all the people to fill the jars, wouldn't you ask the foreign widowed women to go get the water? And here what he's saying is, no, you know what? We're going to let the men get the water. And you, when you're thirsty, you don't have to run away from the gleaning to go find your water. You come and I'll have them fill the water for you. Do you like Boaz? Did I mention he was single? Yes! We like Boaz. So, this cause, women, it's okay to ask the question. Because by now, if you were a woman and this guy is being like overly nice and doing all these great things, you might say, why are you doing this? That's what she says. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She's very humble. She's very honoring. She doesn't go, well, it's about time somebody noticed me because, baby, I'm hot. No. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? Yeah, and this concept of being noticed. We all want to be noticed. We do. The hard part is when we become noticed in all the wrong ways. Young women, sometimes you end up wanting to be noticed in the wrong way. Men, you often want to be noticed in all the wrong ways. Being noticed is something we crave, but don't go about it the wrong way. How is Ruth noticed? She's noticed because she's a woman of noble character. She isn't going around flaunting anything. She is simply loving God and loving her mother and trying to provide. That's how you get noticed. In fact, that's even what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's important. Doing what is right, even if no one else ever knows it. Because you want to know who does? I know that's hard because we really want more. We crave that attention. We want that acknowledgement, but got to be very careful. Let God be the one to notice. And look at what Boaz says. He says, your reputation has preceded you. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. You are loyal to your mother-in-law, and I also know that you are in pain because your husband died. And how you have left your father and mother, and that's an interesting stat, that she left her parents to be with bitter old hag. This woman is this incredible person. And how you came to live with the people you did not know before. And then he pronounces this blessing on her. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. He says, I pray that God will protect you. I pray that God will watch over you. And that the Lord would repay you with blessing because of what you've done for other people. You know what's incredible about this? Is Boaz becomes the answer to his own prayer. I pray that you're protected. And what does he do? He protects her. He prays, I pray that you'll find sustenance. And what does he do? He provides her with sustenance. I pray that you would find refuge. And he gives her refuge. Have you ever looked out and said, man, that person really needs a friend. Lord, you help so-and-so. They really need a friend right now. You know what? Be the answer to your own prayer. And go and be a friend. Lord, this person is struggling. I pray, Lord, that you would give them comfort. You know what? Maybe you can answer your own prayer. Don't be afraid to still ask the prayer, still do that. But then what is God calling you to do? I love this Boaz guy. Did I mention he was single? Yes, I did. Yeah. Oh, and he has a job. And he loves Jesus. We should do that with the confirmation group. I want to see all the guys. I need a job and I love Jesus. Oh, I love it. And again, don't go after just the hot women, all right? We've learned that stat. There's more substance. Yes. And she's not afraid to thank him for it. May I continue? Find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. Man, what does it mean to be a real man? Speak kindly. To who? Everyone. Yeah, exactly. JT's a real man. Sometimes we need to make sure that we do that with our spouse. Absolutely. But do we speak kindly to our daughters? Our sons? Men, speak kindly to the young women in our congregation. Treat them as you would your sister or your daughter. Speak to the older women as you would speak to your mother. That's what Scripture says. Men, that's what we need to do. Speaking kindly. Speaking harshly does not make you a man. Am I right, women? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Aldine. You're awesome. And women, we can learn a lot too. Yes, but I'm not a woman, so I'm not going to say too much on that. So it's awesome. Verse 14, it's time for dinner. So Boaz, he's a good boss. He brings dinner for his workers. Am I right? When you show up and the boss has dinner, that's the reason why Frank's people hate him so much, because Frank doesn't provide food. Frank's field is not a fun place to work at. So they sit down and they eat. And what does he say to Ruth? Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. He invites her up to the table. He gives her the seat of honor. I want you to come up here and sit amongst us. How crazy. And when she sat down with the harvesters, what happens? He offered her some roasted grain. Do you notice that? That's huge. He doesn't wait to be served. He actually serves. He actually gives this beautiful picture of Jesus when he was with his disciples and he got down and he washed their feet. He served them. Of all the people whose feet should have been washed, it should have been Jesus. But Jesus turns it on his head and says, I'm going to serve you. That's what he does for you and me. And then says, that's an example. I want you to serve others. Boaz, of all the people that should have had his food served to him, it would be the boss. But no, he ends up, this vulnerable woman says, I am going to now serve you. Oh, fantastic. And what did she do? She ate all she wanted. Oh, and I love this. And had some left over. Who's the leftovers for? Mom. Now, this is where I ripped this off from another pastor, so I don't take credit for this. But wow, what a fantastic dating technique. And if I would have known this back then, I totally would have done this. Men, you're out on a date with your woman. It comes to the end of the mealtime, and she is going to go home. What do? You lean over to your woman, and you say, "What's your mom's favorite dessert?" "Oh, apple pie." "Oh, apple pie. Excuse me, waiter, yeah. We need an apple pie to go." Am I right? Dating techniques of the book of you are half. Now, if that happens, you would be like, "Oh, yeah, moms, am I right?" You're like, yeah, that would be a keep. I didn't actually have to do it. I already had my mother-in-law, like, loved me well beforehand. She, in fact, was advising Heather to dump other dude, loser, and to come, right? And even gave her, I've given you bonus material, even gave her a little pad that says, "Sometimes you don't find love. Love finds you." Oh, yeah, and it had my name on it. I'm like, I never even met the woman, and she loved. Men, you've got to love the mom if you want it to go well with you. Otherwise, it's bad. Get some apple pie, some cheesecake. Verse 15, "So after the food's over, she got up to glean. Boaz gave orders to his men, 'Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her.'" This is really cool. Again, the way it would happen is if you're out in the harvest and you're harvesting, you'd be grabbing these stalks and you would slice them and then you would bundle them up and then you'd carry them away. And the idea is the gleaners, the people that were going to pick up the scraps left behind, they're about 20 paces behind you. Because you wouldn't want them close, like grabbing the work that you're already trying to do. It'd be like, no, shoo. But what Boaz says is he says, Ruth is going to be allowed to actually stand among you, right in the middle of the harvest. So as you're harvesting stuff, she might reach out and grab a stalk that hasn't been cut down. Don't touch her. Don't embarrass her. Don't say mean things to her. In fact, if you're there and you've got a bundle, grab a couple of stalks and pull them out and drop them on the ground accidentally, okay? Yeah? Is that good? Do you like Boaz? Did I mention he was single? Yes. And it works. It works. Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to a whole ephah. Is that incredible or what? What's an ephah? Yeah, that's what I know. Like, a whole ephah? I don't know what that means. I looked at my little text note. What does your text note say? About 22 liters? Yeah, what would someone else say? 22 liters or 3/5 of a bushel? Yeah, I don't know what a bushel is. 22 liters, I can figure out why, because I drink soda, right? So you get a 2-liter bottle of soda. So 22 liters, 11 of those filled with grain. The equivalent would be about 2 weeks' worth of wages. Now, that's pretty impressive. Recycling cans and making enough money that you could live off of for 2 full weeks. That's pretty impressive. It also shows something else that I think is important, that he honors Ruth. Part of me was like, why doesn't Boaz just like reach into the granary and just hand her a bunch of food and say, you know, see you later? But there's this, again, Boaz isn't trying to court her or woo her or date her. He's honoring this person who is vulnerable. And gives her such respect, but she still works for it. That's what those who are destitute and desperate need, is still a semblance of respect. So she packs up, and I likened it to grabbing a big old bag of dog food and hucking it on your shoulder. I mean, she's walking by. I love it. She carries it back into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Holy cow, would that have shocked you? Yeah. Guy comes home after recycling and he's got, you know, a couple thousand dollars. That's a lot of recycling. And Ruth also brought out and gave what she had left over. She brought out the apple pie. Wow. You know what's really cool about this is, again, it shows the character of Ruth. We always have fights in our house about leftovers because we go out to eat and Heather always takes stuff to go because, you know, she's petite and she just eats a little and, oh, I'm full now. Oh. And so then we go home. Am I right? No. Yeah. and then we go, oh, you know what she does with the leftovers? She marks on the box. Mark, do not touch. Right? Amen. There we go. If you didn't learn anything else about the sermon. But this is amazing because Ruth, she comes home. I might have had a chip on my shoulder. She's been out working all day and she comes home and where's Naomi? She's still sitting in front of the TV watching soap operas and eating bonbons. She's like a slug. She's just sitting there. I'd be like, yeah, I got some leftovers. They're mine. But no, what does she do? Do you get what Ruth, she's giving, she's generous. Ladies, no. Men, we like that. Generous, giving women, that's hot. That's beautiful. And her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Is that different or what? Perhaps maybe her name is no longer Mara? Kind of sounds like the dark cloud is lifting. Sometimes it's all we need. I wonder if Ruth thought that, like, man, all Naomi needs is to see that there's hope. Because everyone needs just, sometimes just a little hope. What an incredible gift. All of this took place in the span of a day. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's all we need? The right day? And what a difference that one day can make? Maybe you're in that cloud, and you're like, I ain't got nothing. All it takes is a day. All it takes is just a little bit of hope. All it takes is looking to see that God is not against you. Look at what she says. Now, Ruth then tells her mother-in-law all about the one at whose place she'd been working. She's like, oh my gosh, he came up in the Hummer. He stepped out. Mom, he's gorgeous. Did I mention he was single? Oh, Boaz, I love this guy. And then she actually says, the name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. And Naomi's like, the Lord bless him. She's getting back into the Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. And then underline that word, he. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. Question, who is he? In the previous sentence, there are two people mentioned. May the Lord show kindness to Boaz. May the Lord bless Boaz. So who is he? I mean, a lot of people think it's Boaz. You know, thank you, Boaz. He's not stopped showing kindness. But I wonder if maybe she realizes that God's hand is not against her. Maybe she stopped and realized, Yahweh has not forsaken me. It very well could be that she's talking about God right at that point. Yahweh has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. And then like a good Jewish mom, she starts plotting. That man is a close relative. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. And I'll go into the theology on kinsmen redeemer more in 2 weeks when we come back and hit Ruth chapter 3. Because I'll just tell you right off the bat, the kinsmen redeemer, he kind of served in three different functions. It was family members that were supposed to be protectors and providers for the family. And this is not just the immediate family, this would be the extended family. So first of all, they were supposed to be men of strength because one of the jobs is if someone attacked the family, this guy had a responsibility to go and defend and protect. He had to be a man of strength. If someone fell on hard times, he had to be a man of wealth because then he could provide and buy back and redeem all of the debt and all of the problems. He was also supposed to be available there in case that Levirate marriage needed to be fulfilled. And again, it wasn't just for the sons there. If there was extended family, they could step in and be the kinsman redeemer. So we need someone who's strong, who's wealthy, who's single. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Naomi, for pointing out the obvious. We've already gone there. Verse 21, then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with the workers until they finished harvesting all my grain. Essentially, if she stays on pace, she'll finish in that harvest season in that couple of months. She'll have provided for the entire year. Wow. Naomi finally grows a conscience. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it'd be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls because in someone else's field you might be harmed. Oh, thank you. At least she does wake up. At least she's now thinking of her. And then, so Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. We're hoping, right? Right? What do you think? Love connection? Ruth? Boaz? There's a problem. What's that last sentence? And she lived with her mother-in-law. Oh, crud. Ruth hasn't found her resting place yet. She hasn't found her place of security, but we're thinking about it, right? We're hoping. What do you think? Is it going to happen? You got to come back in 2 weeks to find out the rest of the story. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be proper men and women, that we would be men of noble character and women of noble character, that we would treat people correctly, speaking kindly, giving respect, being humble, honoring. Lord, I pray right now, especially for those people who are struggling, who are in the dark cloud, that are depressed, and maybe they just need a day. And Lord, I pray that that day would be today, that they would see that you are not against them, that you love them, and you will not stop showing kindness, chesed, to them. And I pray that the dark cloud would lift. And I pray that they would see you and praise you. And thank you for always being in charge. Thank you for having no coincidences, but you guide and direct all things according to your good and gracious will. In Jesus' name, amen.